Morning. This is a set of talks which I've called Blessed. This is the first sort of four parts to it. On the podcast, it'll be four parts together. On YouTube, it'll be four separate videos. It's called Blessed. It's based on the book of Ephesians. And Paul tells us right from the beginning of that, just the incredible blessings we have as God's children. And so the first one I'm reading from is Ephesians 1 verse 3. It says this, and this is an incredible statement. Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus." Every spiritual blessing. We've been blessed by God the Father through Jesus with every spiritual blessing. This is the promise for all who put their trust in Jesus. Now, it's actually, I think it's a blessing to know that you've been blessed. You know, God has blessed you, to know He'll go on blessing you. It's a blessing just to know that. Because it's a blessing to know God loves to bless His people. And if we're His people, through our Lord Jesus Christ, He loves to bless us and He's giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. God is giving us, through Jesus, the most important things we could ever want or ever need in life. Not necessarily what we want, it's not necessarily the things, blessings as we think they should be, but it's the blessings where He fulfills our deepest and our greatest needs. He gives us our eternal needs. He gives us what we want. So part one of this is we are blessed by being chosen. He says, "For He chose us in Him," that's in Jesus, "He chose us in Him before the creation of the world." He chose us. And that is an incredible thing. Sometimes in our lives, we can feel unloved, or unlovable, or unworthy, or a bit like the runt in the litter. We can feel second rate, especially when we compare ourselves to others. But to know this, He chose us. He chose you through Christ Jesus, meaning that even where we were undeserving or unholy or not fit for God or unrighteous, Jesus died for us. He took our sin, He took our unworthiness, He took our unholiness, and He replaced it with His perfection, with His righteousness. And He did this choosing of us before the creation of the world, which is staggering. That's a bit beyond our minds to understand that you were chosen through Christ before God created anything. Before He started anything, He had us in mind. That He would choose us through Jesus, and that He would draw us to Himself as His own beloved. I say this again. Sometimes we feel unlovable, but to know this, the Creator of the universe had us in His plans, in His purposes, before He made a thing. He chose us in Jesus. And the depth of His love in that choice are seen in the length that He goes to save us to Himself. Jesus had to die for us. If you really believe this, that you've been chosen by God through Christ Jesus, you will be blessed. And the more you think about it, the more blessed you'll be. I think it's an incredible thing when we realise that someone has actually chosen of their own free will to love us. It's a great thing in marriage to know that someone has chosen us and goes on choosing us and chooses to love us. It's a blessing when you think about it. I think it even more so, we were spending some time with some teenagers not long ago, and I said, you know how parents love you with an unconditional love? And one of the young men, he was about a 17-year-old, and he said, "No, I've never really experienced that." That's a very sad thing, isn't it? What he'd experienced from his parents is actually a conditional love. If he was good, they loved him. Otherwise, they didn't. But it proves that even in the most close family relationship, love is actually still a choice that we have to make. We choose to love someone. You can't do it out of obligation, because it'll never work. You'll always be grumpy in it then. It is a blessing. And for us to know that there is one who is the King of the universe, who has chosen to love us, to serve us, to put us as a high priority in his life, that's a blessing. Think on that. You've been chosen. He's chosen to love you. What a blessing that is. Thank you, Father. Part two of the series, Blessed, is about how we are blessed by being made holy and blameless. Paul goes on, I'll read from the start again. Though praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. In other words, as God looks at us, he sees us as holy and blameless. How can that be? Before I was a Christian, I did a lot of things wrong. I rebelled against the laws and the rules which I knew in my heart to be right, to be holy. And my reward for that in the present, at that time, my wages for those actions was a whole lot of pain, a whole lot of guilt and shame. And I think I was very good at doing and living in guilt and shame and living out of the power of those horrible things. In fact, life when you live under guilt and shame is incredibly miserable. It's not fun. It's not life to the full. So here's this incredible blessing. He made us, that is all who trust in Jesus, to be holy and blameless. Through Jesus, he's washed us, he's cleansed us, he's forgiven us, and he's made us perfectly presentable to God, the Holy Father. That is what it is to be blameless and holy in his sight. There is not a single thing that God looks at us and says, a bit disappointed about that, that harumph, head shake. Look, there are a few things I've got to sort out. You've got to get a bit better, and then I'll actually accept you. There's not a minute thing that he looks at in us and says, I'm not happy about that. I'll accept him or her when I get that sorted out. He has made us holy. That means that's the Bible word for sanctified. He has sanctified us. He has washed us clean. And he says in 1 John, the blood of Christ washes us from all our sin, but the actual Greek there is a present continuous, which means the blood of Christ goes on washing us from all our sin. Through the cross, the cleansing that Jesus has done has washed us and goes on washing us so that we are not only when we become a Christian perfectly clean and acceptable to God, but we go on being perfectly clean and acceptable to God. So we no longer have any more guilt for our sin. We have no fear that God is going to sneak up and grab us and smash us because we've done something wrong again. We can live life knowing that we're pure through Jesus. And if we live our life knowing that we've been purified and that we're pure, then that causes us, and he teaches us, to live holy and blameless lives. We can actually leave sin behind because we know that sin is no longer who we are. If we go on living in guilt and shame, we end up sinning and falling into sin. But when we go living in the fullness of God, in the fullness of the holiness of God, in the purity of God, we actually go on living as if we're holy. Because we are. That's an incredible blessing. He has made us holy and blameless. And if you go on living in that, you are, I'll say it again, washed, bathed, cleansed, purified, new, holy, righteous, born again, born from above, born new. If you go on living your life like that, you will be blessed. Thank you, Father, for that. Part three continues on, and he says, For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us. In love, he predestined us. Predestined is not a word that we use a lot, but what it means is he had a destiny in place for us as his children ahead of time. He had a destiny preset for us. Before we made a choice about him, he'd made a choice about us. Now we struggle with this thought. How does that work? But I think our problem is trying to understand it. When we try and understand how it works, we can't enjoy the blessing of it. For people have multiple arguments about what is predestination and how does that work. And I don't think we can ever enjoy the blessing of it when we're trying to rationalize it in our heads. It's something that we just have to believe, to trust. The God of this universe, the one who is creator and ruler and king and Lord, he is the one who's predestined us. Now, if he's predestined us and he has a preset purpose for our lives before we came along, well, surely as king of the universe, that's his right, isn't it? If he has a plan and purpose before we have a plan and purpose, well, that's actually really good. Because, you see, what it means is God had our lives set down before we ever, it's hard to imagine a time where I wasn't, because as far as I know, I've always been in my life. But before that, God had a plan. Now, what would this give to us? What would this mean for us if we actually knew that we were predestined? Well, I think it would give us this, an incredible certainty, a surety, and assurance. Assurance is a good word, because we know commonly the word in our lives, insurance. Insurance is where we pay an insurance premium for our house insurance. And because we pay that money every year, if our house burns down, the insurance company will give us enough money to pay for it. But we've earned that right by paying our premium. But assurance comes not because we've paid anything, but because God has actually, this is assurance, has done. God has done something which comes from his promise. He has promised to give us a security, not because of us or anything in us, or because we've earned anything, or because we've paid any premium, but because he's chosen to do it. That's it. It's the thing that we struggle with God's sovereignty and his predestination and purpose and things. He's done it all outside of us. And yet, when we believe that, we have the greatest security, because it's his plans. It's his actions. And his plans aren't subject to our plans. So that's a good thing. Do you know that? You can't stuff up God's plan for your life. You can't ruin it. You can't mess it up. Sometimes, and we think, and there's definitely a truth to this. It's partly true. We'll say, the reason I'm a Christian is because I chose to follow Jesus. But you see, if that is the basis for our Christianity, then what happens on those days where we haven't chose to follow him that day, or where we haven't even thought about him much, or worse than that, we've walked in the opposite direction to him? You see, if our Christianity is based just on our ongoing choices, well, one day we'd be a Christian and one day we wouldn't be a Christian, we'd be all over the place. But you see, our Christianity is based on him, on his plan for our life, on his decision and his choice. And so that gives us just an incredible, unshakable security. Before we were born, before the creation, God had a predestined plan for us. And that will give us a firm security. That's come to us through Jesus. That is a great blessing. We're talking about living blessed lives. If you live knowing that, you'll be blessed. Thank you, Father. Part 4 is about a series of blessing, and this is only the first part. There's going to be lots more parts in the future. But it says this, we are blessed by being adopted. We're told, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and will. We have been adopted into God's family. That means we weren't his children, and he brought us into his family, and he made us his children. I think in our lives we have this great need, a deep need, to feel like we belong somewhere. That we have our crowd, or our mob, or our family, or our tribe. The people that we fit in with, the people that we feel like we belong with. To know that we've got a home. A home is a deep need in our lives. Not a house. People try and have that sense of belonging by building, you know, you can build a $15 million house, but you won't feel like you belong because it's something, a deeper need than that. We need a family. We need a home. And I think at the center of that home is we need a father. People say we have this sort of God-shaped hole, and that is true. We have a God-shaped hole in our lives. But that it's a deeper need than just a God. It's actually, we long to have a father, a perfect father. A God is powerful, and he'll help us with stuff, and he'll help us with our life. But our Father is really deeply interested in us personally. He will bless us. He will correct us. He will guide us. He's on about building our character, on growing us and transforming us. And God the Father has adopted us into his own family. We weren't his children. We rejected him as Father. We said we'd rather follow the ways of the father of all lies, that's the devil. But whilst we were in that position, by his sheer grace and love, he chose us and he brought us from being not his children to being his children. He adopted us into his family. So that now we have the full rights as children of God. An adopted child is not a second-rate child. An adopted child is not half-deserving. It's not like one that God says, look, I'll have you over, I'll feed you until the time where you can leave. And yeah, it's not that. God brings us in fully as his sons and daughters, adopted fully as heirs. When we were alone and unloved, in sense, in the world's orphanage, where the devil ruled over, where we were without hope, we were without love, we were without life, he came, he chose us, he adopted us into his family, and he took us home to eat at his table, to fellowship with him, to drink at his table, to live in all the fullness it is to be children of God, heirs of his kingdom. And when we know that, we will remain in the security it is of knowing we have a home, a safe house, a safe home, a place where we belong, a place where we love to be, where we sit, where we enjoy spending time with our Father. If we know that we have been adopted in, and we're not going to be adopted out, he's not going to divorce us. We've been adopted into his home, into his family. We are his children. That gives us such an incredible grounding and security in our life. We will know what a blessing it is to live like that. And we'll say, thank you, Father. We'll continue on in the next part. Thank you.